saved. God wants us to be sure. Another hallmark of Wesleyan theology is the assurance of salvation, and that we can be certain. Assurance is defined this way, a being certain in the mind, and the illustration of the Puritan's assurance of salvation. We sing songs like, "O to be like thee, O to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart." Now I want you to think about something, because that hymn draws from the scripture. Ephesians 1:13, "And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised." This doesn't stop there. The mark of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. "Remember, God is the one who makes you and us strong in Christ. God made us his chosen people. He put his mark on us to show that we are his. He put his spirit in our hearts to be a guarantee for all he had promised." And Wesley Duell makes this comment, the author of God's Great Salvation: "The Holy Spirit stamps his imprint upon your submissive heart, the seal of a new Christ-likeness. As you walk with God in close fellowship, the image of his seal will become ever clearer." The image of Christ-likeness. It will be visible to you, even more so, it will be visible to other Christians. It will even be discernible to the world. That is a great testimony. And that is the testimony of a spirit-filled Christian. That you will discern the fact that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. And not only you, but other Christians will see it. And we're going to discuss how that is seen. But the world as well will see the mark of the Holy Spirit upon you, because it is evident by God's light that is shining in your life. Now, God has a testimony about us, and he testifies through us. And what is that? You've all heard of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, that is God testifying to the world through this fruit about the fact that we are his children. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. God testifies to us by his Spirit. He testifies to the world through the fruit. He testifies to us through his Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. John Wesley himself said, "Let no one rest upon some supposed witness of the Spirit separate from its fruits." And you say, that may really be strange that you would say that. And yet, through my ministry, I've seen evidence of that. I've seen, and I have to think of one individual in particular, and the evidence of that person's life was one of spousal abuse. And yet that person would say, "Oh no, I have the fruit of the Spirit." No, but when you looked at that person's life, it was like a checkoff. I did a show on Friday morning, and Dove, a representative of Dove, which is the domestic violence program, came in, and they were talking about some of the different signs of spousal abuse. And it was like going to check mark through this person's life. That's what I check off for this person. It was not the fruit of the Spirit. And yet this person would say, well, no, I'm a Christian. I don't think so. Simply because the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit is not present in your life. Period. You may have a mental assent, and you may have thought you signed and got your ticket punched for heaven. But there's no evidence that the Spirit is abiding in you. Because these things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, they're not evident. And you may be thinking I'm talking about a man, but I'm not. I'm talking about a woman. I asked her. I said, you know, we intended to do an intervention 2 years ago, but your family all backed out. And I said, do you know why they did that? And she said, yes, they're scared of me. She knew it. Well, how do you reconcile that with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? You can't. You can't. But God's witness, literally, is living in you and living through you as a testimony to the rest of the world. And you can be certain of your salvation. And really, until Wesley came, that was not a hallmark of Reformed theology. And yet, it's so important to us. It's so important that you know that you are His. And that you have that great, wonderful hope of salvation. You have an eternal hope. We talked a little bit earlier about, I can't remember if it was here or whether it was in Sunday school, but about an eternal hope that people have. And it's hard to imagine making it through life when that hope is not there. And for some, they don't even think that it exists, period. They think it's a fantasy. God confirms, not only by His Spirit that we are His, but He confirms through His Holy Word that we are His. God's objective witness is fortified by His unchanging Word. About God's Word, He says, forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. And then numerous times, God's Word states the Holy Spirit witnesses to us our acceptance before God. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Literally, these words are those very close to these words that are in red on the screen. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. You can find that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. You can find it in Ephesians 1:13. You can find it in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. And you can find it in Romans 8, verse 16. God is wanting us to know that the assurance of His salvation is available to each and every child of God. You do not have to be concerned, am I saved or am I not saved? No, the Holy Spirit has marked you for the day of redemption, and He will testify to you and witness to your spirit that He has saved you. Do you believe that? That is an assurance. Whenever you doubt, I want you to turn to God's Word and look at these things. If you are a child of the King, if you have confessed and you have appropriated this great salvation, you have made it your own, and you know that you are saved, then know it. Hold it. Cherish it. Act like it. Don't let the enemy's lies bring you down. Don't let self-doubt bring you down. There's only one thing that we can absolutely be certain of on this earth, and that is the truth of God's holy word. And here you have four different verses that state the fact that if you are a child of God, you can know the assurance of your salvation. The Wesleyan doctrine of assurance is as follows. Present assurance is available to the believer. It is available. Assurance of salvation is the normal privilege of all the children of God. Authentic Christian assurance is the result of the joint testimony. There is a concurrence between what God whispers to us by His Spirit directly witnessing within us and what our own hearts say to us as a consequence. This is from a commentary of Odin in John Wesleyan's Spiritual Christianity. God's Word teaches and confirms the subjective witness of the Holy Spirit and the indirect witness of our own spirit of what God's grace has done in our lives. Have confidence in this assurance. Your assurance of salvation is based upon the objective witness of Scripture, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, and the reproducing and affirming witness of your own spirit. Look at that again. Your assurance of salvation is based upon the objective witness of Scripture. The only thing we can hold is an absolute positive truth. Your assurance of salvation is based upon the objective witness of God's holy word. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit, third member of the Trinity, and the reproducing and affirming witness of your own spirit testifies to the fact that you are a child of God, if in fact you are a child of God. Be assured, don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let self-doubt cripple your salvation. Cripple your Christian witness. Arise, My Soul, Arise by Charles Wesley was written in 1742. And it states, My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for His child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh. With confidence I now draw nigh. Father, Abba Father, cry. We can literally cry out to Him as Daddy, Daddy. That's kind of hard for me. I know it's true, but I think of the awesome God that He is, the awesome Creator that He is, His holiness, His righteousness, and to call Him Daddy is kind of tough. But according to the Scripture, that's what we can do. And Charles Wesley immortalized that in song. I'm going to give you a silly illustration, but it works for me this week anyway. I was telling Celesta I was so thankful for the ear muffins that I got. And they're not muffins, of course. They're muffs, but it came out my ear muffins. And they're just like, cost $3, and I put them over my ears when I mow. Okay, what I had been doing was putting some things down in my ear canal, and I could not believe the difference when I put these muffins on my ears. Okay? I put those things on, and at least I'd have to say 70 to 80% of the noise was cut away. So immediately I had evidence that those muffs had worked. And I was out there mowing, and my hearing, I know, was being protected. When I came to the Lord and became a Christian, I had immediate assurance that I had been saved. God had done a work in my life. And I'm sure you experienced the same thing. Maybe if it was a real intellectual thing, you didn't experience a big emotional moment. But there is evidence that that had occurred. When I put those muffs on my ears, and all of a sudden, it went from brrr to brrr. It was great. You know what was even better, though? As I continued to mow the yard, I realized something else was going on. there is a stress from hearing noise. I noticed it when I moved from the city to the country, and I noticed it when I was on that lawnmower and I put those muffs on. The stress associated with so much noise was stressing me out. When I put those muffs on my ears, the longer term effect, less stress when I mow the yard. When Jesus saved you, when you accepted Him, when you appropriated His great salvation, guess what? That eternal assurance that God is your Lord and King, that you are a child of the King, and that you will spend eternity in heaven, takes away a lot of stress. It takes away all the stress that has to go with wondering, will I or won't I be in heaven? So you have the immediate impact, as I did with those muffins, those muffs. And then I realized I have a longer appreciation, realization, understanding that I'm not stressed out because of the noise. And in essence, if you cut out the noise of the world and you get quiet before the Lord and you allow His Spirit to witness to your spirit, you will have that assurance of salvation. So be assured. God wants to beautify your personality and character by His holiness and by His sweetness in your disposition. He wants to reflect Himself in you. God wants to bestow on you a crown of beauty instead of ashes, quoting Isaiah 16:3. Did you know God has called us to live in peace? 1 Corinthians 7:15. And you would have read that. If you're keeping up with the scripture, you would have read that just recently as we're reading through the Bible. God has called us to live in peace. He doesn't want us living in a strife-centered world. We may live in the world, but we're not of the world. He doesn't want the stresses of the world stressing us out. You say, easy for me to say. Yeah, it is. And believe me, I'm right there. You know, I went through a lot of stress in my life. And it broke me at one point. But God was faithful through all of that. He does not want us to be confused about our salvation. He wants us to live in peace, knowing we have the assurance of God's great salvation. We know that we live in Him and He is in us because He gave us of His Spirit. 1 John 4:13. Do you believe that? We have a saving grace and we have saving faith. Believe that God exists and God is Savior. Why don't you just say that with me? Believe that God exists and Christ is Savior. Say with me. Consent to God's salvation and surrender your whole will and being. That would be sanctification. Now, read with me again. Appropriate, receive, and trust in God's great salvation. These are the things I don't want you to do. Don't rely on an intellectual faith alone. It's not just saying, okay, I believe Jesus Christ was a historical figure. I believe that it's recorded in God's Word. But you don't make it a heart knowledge. You don't actually allow Him to change your life. I think that's really what happened in the experience I related to you earlier. There was an intellectual assent that Jesus Christ was real and had lived and had died for our sins. But that truth had never been appropriated by that person and applied to their heart. We need to not just have an intellectual assent that Christ lived, but we need to have a true faith that we appropriate. Don't reason your way to hell. And there are some who will do that. There are some who will say, hey, I got my ticket punched, I went to that altar, I confessed my sin, and then I went out and lived my life like hell, but I've got my ticket punched. Well, that's, you can reason your way straight to hell. If there's not a change in your life, if there is not a change in your behavior, then your salvation is probably not actual. Place your trust in do not place your trust in anything except God's plan and salvation. Scott was talking in Sunday school today about different gospels out in the world. And there are different things that will try to get your allegiance. And they can really be strange things. I mean, you may have a whole lot of allegiance to a Cadillac. I'm sorry, I don't have that. I don't have a Cadillac, and if I did, I still know it's going to end up in a junk heap someday, and it's going to rust away. I'm not putting my trust there. My trust is in my eternal God, my eternal Savior. My salvation is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by Him. That's it. I know for many of you, this is simply review. And that's fine. I want you to be reminded, if you ever doubt your salvation, the Word of God can witness to you that you are saved. The Holy Spirit can witness to you that you are saved. And if you have the fruit of the Spirit and you go to a discerning Christian, they can say, no, you are saved. You have the fruit of the Spirit. That's evident in your life. You could not have that if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. I've been with you a long time. I know you as a close friend. I will pray with you to remove this doubt. But you need to go back and read the Word of God and be assured of your salvation. And you need to ask the Spirit once again to give you the assurance that you are in fact saved. Because He does not want you living in doubt. He wants you to know that this free gift that He has provided for you, that you have in fact appropriated it, and you look forward. Once you leave this life, you have eternal life with Him because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And what He did for us was complete, and it removed all sin. Be assured. Stop striving so and let God. Be still and know God. Be comforted and feel God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 46, verse 10. We look for your peace. We look and we are thankful for your grace.